Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. That was Metallica, of course, with Enter Sandman. This is Michael Connolly. I will be your host tonight. Miss Eva, for those of you who are waiting to hear her lovely voice, is not feeling very well. She's battling laryngitis as well as a possible allergic reaction to some antibiotics that the doctor gave her. So she's not here with us today. And I just wanted to say, Eva, I hope you get better soon. We miss you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. My co-host tonight is Mr. Jimmy Gray. He and I have worked radio together before and did quite well, and then somehow or another we kind of got out of the radio business for a while, and now we're sort of back into it again. Welcome, Jimmy.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. And how are you doing this evening?
No, I'm doing pretty good, actually. I had a pretty good day. We worked our little tails off around here, cutting grass and so forth and so on, because, well, it's that time of the year, at least in this part of Texas.
Yes, yeah, it's catching up to all of us. Yeah, poor Eva last night, she tried, but she really, really, really didn't sound like she was feeling all that well last night. I do hope she gets better.
Yeah, I do too, because the longer the show went on, the less she could really say anything. So, Eva, if you're listening, if not, I totally understand. But we wish you well and hope you get back and better very soon. Well, you know, Jimmy, I've been trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do for the show tonight, because Eva didn't want me to present what she was having for the show, which I can understand. And so I picked up on this little so-called announcement of the Panama Papers. And apparently last year, sometime a year ago or so, there was a person who remains unidentified at this point for fear of his life, but he turned over 11.5 million documents to a German newspaper who then forwarded them to several investigative reporters. And now there's about 350 of those investigative reporters, and they have a secret website that's triple encrypted so that they can have like their own little Facebook page, I would think, so they could sit down and go back and forth over these documents. But they didn't really start looking at these documents with a lot of hardcore look, because initially, they weren't finding anything other than just leaked documents. And what they have found, approximately 200 Americans that were involved with this company called, oh my gosh, I can't ever remember the name of that group, Mossack Fonseca and Company, who apparently for the last 40 years has been providing sheltered accounts for people, not necessarily illegally, because they haven't found any real sense of wrongdoing. But I find it interesting that the prime minister of Iceland resigned today, as well as another gentleman who had something to do with the European Coalition of Investigative Journalists or something, who apparently got caught up in some kind of business, and he resigned. However, that doesn't mean in reality that there's anything wrong. They haven't found anything wrong yet, but they feel like they found connections to the Saudi prince, Vladimir Putin, David Cameron, and people like that. But I find it real hard for me to squeeze into my brain that at this particular point it's nothing more than leaked documents. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I'm a little curious about the timing of the release, for one. On top of that, it's not really what you'd call an open release. They didn't basically dump the documents on the web to where they were accessible by everybody. So there's still a control factor in place. Is it possible, for instance, is it possible that Putin was sheltering some wealth outside of Russia? Yeah, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that some Americans are sheltering, dollars that have already been taxed or whatever the case may be? I mean, it's not really a bad idea if you have a nest egg. I'm using nest egg as a term here for, just kind of a catch-all term. But, sheltering some of that money offshore is not really a bad idea. I don't know, about the setting up a shell corporation in order to protect it or whatever the case may be. I really don't know much about that. But I do know that there are places here in the United States where you don't have to go offshore. Nevada, if recollection serves, I remember hearing something a long time ago about Nevada being a state that you could actually set up a shell company in. So, I'm really trying to figure out where the fire is. I see a lot of smoke, but I'm trying to figure out where the fire is.
Well, here's the one thing that I look at in that regard, and I'm with you. I see a lot of smoke, but I don't see anything flaming up at the moment, except that the company itself has openly admitted that they create accounts for people, hidden accounts, and a lot of that, for people in dummy accounts here, there, and yonder. But as they said, some of those accounts are for divorce purposes and things of that sort. Now, it seems to be they're more at this particular point in time investigating Europe than they are anybody in the U.S. that had an account through those people. And again, I want to stress to anybody that's listening, I'm not saying that this is a bombshell of criminality and evil, but there's potential there, just like in anything in the world, there's potential for that. But it seems a little odd to me, Jimmy, and perhaps it's just because I don't know the ins and outs of offshore banking, that why would you have to create an account and create another account to hide that account and create another account to hide that account, of which the original person who started the account's name is no longer anywhere to be found, but still has access to that account. Now, I mean, that's a kind of secrecy. It's not very transparent when they do things that way. But again, until they find that there's some criminal wrongdoing, I think all we're hearing right now is the surface winds to the potential storm that may show up later on.
Well, this may be something of a scare tactic. Let's stop and think about something. Can you think of anybody in recent news that might, for some reason or another, have put some money off in a shell company offshore?
Well, yeah, I could think of a lot of people. Halliburton Industries, for one, the Clintons, possibly our president. But, I mean, even then, that doesn't mean that they were illegal in those accounts. In fact, I read today that Barack has announced that he is encouraging and urging Europeans to redo their tax laws so that this kind of thing doesn't surface again. Now, my question is, what business is that of Barack's? I mean, he needs to keep it...
Go ahead, Jimmy. What about Trump, who's currently running for president and has the entirety of the GOP trying to shut him down?
Well, I honestly, I know, I won't vote for Trump. It would have to be a a miracle in order for me to do that. He would have to change his rhetoric and things. But I honestly believe, or I really believe, that he's honest up to a point, but more so than not, he's just loud, boisterous, and demanding, which I don't really want that in actuality. I don't want that in our politics. You know, I don't like it in our politics because he's going to find, Trump's going to find, and of course this is a little off topic, which I'm infamous for doing, but he's going to find that if he's elected, a hard, hard job to gain a consensus in Congress, they're going to be battling him all the time, or at least that's what it appears.
You're right about that. I was just pointing out that this could be something of a little bit of a scare tactic to throw these, what I'm going to call, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call them low-level elites, all right, just, you know, low-level, big-money people, throwing them up under the bus. He might have an account over there, and maybe that's, you know, whatever. That's kind of trying to drag a bunch of stuff together. I don't know. But what I was really trying to get to is, if he, well, okay, they've already got the 200 some odd passports or whatever, American passports,
right,
that are using this particular service. So, but like I said, you know, we haven't heard about any large corporation CEOs that are doing this. We haven't heard about any of the bankers doing this. And you know, let's talk about, why do people try to hide wealth? They try to hide wealth from their government because they're going to tax and tax and tax and tax every chance they get, every excuse they can come up with. And then, of course, you've got, like you said, you know, you have people that try to protect some of their wealth from divorce cases and things along those lines. I have nothing to say about that. I have no idea. But I find it funny that Obama is going to try to recommend to England or Great Britain or whoever it is, that they modify their tax code so that people will quit trying to hide money. you know what you do to make people quit trying to hide money from the government? You lower the taxes. That's what you do.
Well, not only
it's just
that.
Simple.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by every written law we have, with the exception of the, I think it's the 16th Amendment, tax is theft. You know, it's supposed to be a volunteer thing. You should donate. Doesn't say you have to, or it's, you should pay your fair share. Doesn't say you have to. But,
well,
you know, you're right.
They come with SWAT teams and flashbangs.
I know, but I think, quite honestly, that's the IRS that's just gone and completely turned rogue. I mean, you know, somebody had to have given the orders for the IRS to start doing all the investigations they did a few years back with the Tea Party illegally. Someone gave the order, because I don't think there's anybody in the IRS that's smart enough to even think about that. And it's odd that it was the Tea Party they went after when Obama was having such a difficult time in office.
It's not odd. He told them, hey, keep these. What he was trying to do, if I remember correctly, to what you're alluding to, he was putting roadblocks in the way of 503C companies or organizations that were of a conservative nature. So, in other words, his political enemies, he was doing everything he could to eliminate or hold up their 503 tax status of his political enemies.
Mm-hmm. That has shades of J. Edgar Hoover, if you ask me. You know, get everything you can on your enemy or the people that you're have a deep interest in, and find any dirt that you can find. And I agree with that. But, you know, I just get a little nervous when I see things like this, because I am concerned that this could possibly turn into It could really be devastating for the world economy. I mean, there's potential there for that to happen. You know, it said that the article I read said that the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has not found any U.S. politicians of any stature mentioned in the papers. But then again, why would you find any of them if that's what you're trying to hide? I mean, there's, according to the article, there was a dozen or so, maybe 15 or 20 former world leaders, including the Ukrainian president, Poroshenko, and Saudi Arabian monarch King Salman. They have all been implicated. And I wouldn't be surprised at all because, you know, the monarch of Saudi Arabia, you know, is one of the wealthiest men in the world. He's just got untold billions, maybe trillions, because of the oil. And,
right.
You know, but anyway, what they were saying was that this is just not about a few names, a few individuals. It's about a system. It's about how the wealthy and powerful use the offshore system. There could be most of it legal or most of it illegal. We'll never know until actually they get through it. But I, you know, again, like you said, I'm leery because who knows how all this started. Why did this individual suddenly release all these documents? There must be something there to be found. Simply is like Snowden when he was a whistleblower, you know. Superficially, it didn't appear to be very much, but there was stuff in those documents that he felt was wrong and that people should look into. And gee, guess what we found out? You know, all of the NSA spying on us and this and that and the other. So it doesn't, I'm not going to put it past the elitist and the extreme wealthy to utilize a system like this in which to hide their money. Oh, well, I'm not really. We're hurting for money. And we need, you know, and so the corporations just donate tons and tons more to them. The Clintons are specifically who I'm talking about. You know, they're so horribly poor that they live in a $10 million mansion. You know, to me, that's ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, but they have that foundation that they solicit donations to and trade for political favors as well.
Yes, yes. And
I mean, if you really want to start you know, I would like to see places like Luxembourg release this kind of information. I can't think of some of the other ones. Hell, Switzerland, for Christ's sake. You know, if you're going to, basically, like I said, this is, I really think that this is just throwing some of the low-hanging fruit up under the bus, and I'm not entirely sure what it's, you know, what the distraction's for.
Yeah.
Because if they do find enough information in here to start really getting their appetite wet, then there's going to be people digging in places like Luxembourg and Switzerland and, you know, places along those lines. That's when it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. Of course, what they're...
Well, I say that, but then, you know, you've got the tax-free foundation thing going on here in the States, well, actually probably globally, and it tax-free foundation. Hey, what a wonderful way to hide your money, essentially, put it into a tax-free foundation. It's not taxed automatically. You draw a little pittance of a salary from your actual job if you still have one. And that's what you file your taxes on.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, it's all sideways because George Soros's secretary a few years ago. You know, he was like, oh, she pays more in income taxes than I do. Well, yeah, she's not, you know, she doesn't benefit from a tax-free foundation either. You know, she doesn't have the ways to manipulate her income the way he does.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, here's another thing, Jimmy. You know, with a system like that, I mean, and again, I'm not going to challenge the system, but you do know that it's really a system that could enable criminal corruption and wrongdoing.
Yes, it could.
Hidden by secret offshore companies and accounts. I mean, you know, especially if they find, like, for example, there have been instances of, especially in this investigation this year, like Vladimir Putin's one of his best childhood friends, who he's a cello player, I believe. Yeah. And he has a criminal background, and he is somehow in a long distance sort of way attached or linked to this. And, you know, let's just take, for example, you know, when you look at our elections, and I found this really interesting when Ron Paul ran the last time. Well, committee that he had running his campaign accepted finances from the KKK. Therefore, Ron Paul must be a KKK associate. You know, and in many cases, that can be the case. So, you know, you are basically to the world or to the people who know you, who you hang out with. That's how you're going to be identified. You know, when I was a kid and used to ride my scooter all over the United States and rode with a group of people, I won't mention any names, but all of us were considered criminals simply because we rode on motorcycles with long hair and beards. And that is a misunderstanding by people because they just don't know how to judge character. They see one person that looks like that does something wrong. And then, of course, everybody who looks like that also must be a wrongdoer. So, you know, when they find links like they did with Putin, that doesn't necessarily mean that Putin is that way. But people are going to call for his head if they find out anything else.
Yeah, it's called guilt by association.
Yes, it is.
And it wasn't just the KKK that got tied to Ron Paul. It was the prostitutes out in Nevada. There was a house of ill repute out there that put up a donation box outside the door for Ron Paul, and that backfired just as quickly as anything else does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but see, here's you know, I still, like I said, I still see a lot of smoke, and maybe there is some fire in there somewhere, but I haven't seen it yet. And you're right. They do seem to be centering on the Middle East. They seem to be centering on the UK. And for now, they don't seem to be, you know, making such a big deal out of the Americans. But like I said, you know, Americans, they don't have to go offshore to put together a shell company.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I mean, there's articles all over the place. I started to read one today and then got sidetracked about how global banks get in line with law firms to help the wealthy hide their assets. And again, just so the people are listening, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, any wrongdoing, because I haven't seen it yet, or at least it hasn't been announced. Of course,
what
they're saying now,
there's behind this point.
Do what now?
what was the popularity behind Bitcoin?
Because you could buy things. That's right.
And the ability to use it over the internet easily.
Yeah. Yes, very easily. Very easily.
But the poor, poor slob that set up Silk Road got two life sentences for running a message board, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
the people
that
were actually buying and selling the products were getting 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But the guy that actually set up the message board, which is really all it was, he got two life sentences out of the deal. And according to the judge, he was anti-government.
That just doesn't make any sense. How can you be a criminal just because you're anti-government? And you know why? Because he was able to do something the government's been trying to keep from happening. Because fiat currency is here to stay until something is done about our financial system. Stop living off debt, live off of what we earn, that sort of thing.
Well, you know what the plan is for that? And see, look here. We're talking about, you keep bringing up, you keep mentioning this system that allows people to do this. Well, let's look at the Hegelian dialectic for a minute. Let's create a problem. Let's have a solution that nobody's really going to like until after we create this problem, and then they'll accept our solution. So what's the solution?
It's what they infer.
How about a one currency that's used worldwide? Global taxation?
Yep. Well, and that's a very good point, Jimmy. That is a real good point. Excuse me. Because I feel like that's the drift of our lives, that we're drifting in that direction more and more and more. And I think we're in getting ready to be in real deep doo-doo, so to speak. But anyway, Jimmy, we've got a caller with their hand up. I'm going to bring them in, and we'll talk a little bit more. And at that point, after we talk a little bit more, I'm going to play a song. And there's probably going to be quite a few songs played tonight. Well, I say quite a few, three or four anyway, just so that even those that we're still here and we still love her. Okay, I'm going to bring in this caller. I'm not sure who it is.
Hey, what's
Hello.
Up, Mr. Conley?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What you doing, dude?
I'm supporting Eva tonight, backing her up. That's awesome.
Yep.
The Panama Papers. I didn't even know that was going to be replacing tonight. I didn't know that happened. I got in 1 hour late, and so I sent out the invites as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Yo, I was listening to what you were saying. The consortium of journalists, and they're this is what I got from all that, what you were saying, Michael. Just so I can throw in a little old-fashioned phrase in there from what I heard in my youth. Does anyone here that remember the old phrase? It goes a little something like, Satan will not cast out Satan. When it comes to, because a kingdom will not divide itself if they're lost
That's
into
true.
Power. How can Satan cast out Satan? If he's lost into power, if anything, with that consortium of journalists, listen to how that sounds. I mean, consortium of journalists? That sounds like Axis of the New World Order. We are the controlled media. Consortium. I'm quite out loud. I used to read comic books. They had a supervillain group called the Consortium. They plotted against the X-Men. Consortium of journalists? Oh, my God. Right out of a comic book, it sounded like.
Well,
and I kid you not, it was the X-Men Forever. That was the title it came from. And they were anti-mutant.
There are some aspects of this that kind of lean that direction. They had all this information for over a year. They brought in other journalists from other newspapers and stuff like that. None of them did anything to write any articles or scoop it until it was brought, until the green light was given.
Yeah, really. So, and if anything, if they really wanted to do anything to make it more fun for the public, they'll do what they did with the MK Ultra whole thing with the Church Commission, take a whole Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey circus trial, put it all conservative line to make the public think that they're actually doing something about it. If you know anything about the MK Ultra trial and on Church Commission. I don't know if you guys know anything about that.
There are people that still claim that that stuff never happened.
Oh, yeah, because it actually morphed into other agencies after the fact. It was just a showcase trial. That's all it was.
Yes.
That's why I called it the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus Trial. That's all it was, done all conservative to make the public feel like they were doing something about something as horrible as MK Ultra when really they weren't. It morphed into FDA and psychiatry, actually. What it did, it was horrible.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of go back to the people that are involved in this, according to the Guardian, London newspaper, that David Cameron is being left dangerously exposed by the Panama Papers. The fallout from it. And he refuses to speak on it, which, that's his prerogative. But it just makes me think that there's more going on than what, there's just articles everywhere. I was finding articles left and right.
My goodness.
What are the Panamanian, the Panama Papers, a guide to history's biggest data leak? Whoopie-doo.
Yeah.
A world of hidden wealth. Why are they shining a light offshore? I mean, these kind of headlines are yellow journalistic headlines to me, because they're meant to do all kinds of things and not necessarily the right thing. However, like I said, I am not going to pass judgment on anything until I read some more, hear some more about it. I am concerned that a lot of this is all going to be swept under the rug, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Cover-up is always a thing that they always never shy away from. They never want you to know what they're thinking and feeling and what they're doing. Cover-up is always their top option, because there's no other option but that. The moment the public gets to a point where they're like, oh, what are they doing? Ooh, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. They get right up, we gotta hide that rat. So, there you go, cover it up. Bury it under the cheese.
Okay, guys, we're gonna take about a 5 or 6 minute break. I'm going to play some music, and unfortunately, when I loaded this music for the open door, which I'm going to now, I didn't label what the songs were in order to see which ones they are. So I'm going to play this one, and it's Potluck on the Music Tonight, folks. Here we go.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Of course, that was Joe Bonamassa doing a tune called Happier Times, which is a type of blues rock and roll, which happens to be some of my favorite music. Okay, we're back, guys. Hope your break was satisfactory. Hello.
We here.
Okay.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Well, hello, Miss Eva.
Hey, you sound great.
I just slipped into the, slipped in here to say, hey, you're doing a great job. Thank you, Michael. And
sound like you had a VU.
Bren ended up with bronchitis, so this too will pass in my life. But everything's cool on my end. Thank you. You don't know how much I appreciate you taking over tonight, Michael, and filling in for me. I greatly appreciate it.
That's not a problem. That's what co-hosts are for.
All I've been hearing is a bunch of government shenanigans.
You can still do it.
Not 100%, but this is great. This is great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, guys.
Oh, that's good.
It's pretty groovy, though, knowing that you can count on people when you need them.
Yeah, so as long as you're here just for a minute or two, if you feel like it, what do you think about the Panama Papers?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I haven't. You know that I've been so sick lately that I haven't even caught up to snuff on anything. I've just been kind of laying low. I haven't been feeling like doing anything, but my voice is getting better, you know. So I will be back 100% next week, and I'm very, very excited about next week's show.
Oh, I am too.
But you know, anything to do with the government, it's a bait and switch, man. Everything is a bait and switch, and
yep.
they bamboozle us. And yeah, don't look at this right hand. Just pay attention to the left hand. You know, the puppet that we're showing you, and because the right hand is up to you, no good. Anything to do with the government is bad. I haven't found one good thing about what they have been up to. They're not for us, we the people. They're for them and their pockets.
That's exactly right.
They don't care about us. But no, this is a big thing that people need to know about. Everything is a big thing that people need to know about. But people better keep themselves abreast of what is going on, because they need to get their heads out of the sand.
I agree with you.
You know, it's just so utterly sad to me that people put more emphasis on Dancing with the Stars than they do with what the government is doing to screw you.
That's right. Exactly. Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. I was just looking at a map while we were doing that little break about what countries have been mostly affected by these papers. And it's really interesting. I mean, you know, just for example, Argentina, Iceland, Saudi Arabia, the Ukraine, the United Arab Emirates, just to name a few. But when you look at the map, it's odd that every map where there's questionable activity, or every country where there's questionable activity, it's where the United States is sending most of the aid to.
I wonder why.
Wow. Imagine. What was that, Jimmy?
I said they have to have some place to put all those tax dollars.
Yeah, isn't the Swiss bank account pretty much full?
Well, they said that one bank was almost ready to shut down. But I don't know if you folks remember a couple of years, 3 years ago maybe, or 4 or 5, when there was that big scandal about the aid that the U.S. was giving to Haiti and all of those countries.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Suddenly all that money disappeared and the people never received anything. You know,
oh my gosh. And you had Michael Obama,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's going on there pleading with people. You know, I don't have deep pocket. You know, I can't send money to Haiti. And where charity belongs at home. Look at all the hundreds and thousands and millions of people, the families here in the United States that are doing without.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you
if the homeless you can get arrested for feeding. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
but yeah, the countries that are, I mean, almost all of South America is involved. Mexico, imagine that. Russia, India, Pakistan, and just a slew of African countries that are Libya. In fact, Muammar Gaddafi or Qaddafi. Apparently had stashed away a little cash, but of course he was taken out, and who knows who it's going to go to there, but should go back to the Libyan people.
But the Libyan people loved Muammar Gaddafi. He was not a bad guy. They loved him. How many honest United States citizens can say they love their leader? I can't
say that I love any of our leaders because they lead me in the wrong direction.
And you know, this is just doggone sad, but no, they love Muammar Gaddafi, and
mm-hmm.
and look at all the, do you know how beautiful Libya was before we butted in and we destroyed them? Oh my goodness. And you know, you get married, you got a nice dowry from the uppers, Muammar Gaddafi. You got a nice dowry, you got a home, they don't do this that in the United States.
Right.
You know, they wanted him out because he was interfering with their plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big sin was he wanted to get off the petro dollar and go back to a gold.
Yep, you bet.
I could be wrong.
Their eyes is a sin.
Yeah, that's a fact. He, Muammar, in his speech, one of his last speeches that he made, he said very much, in fact, it might have been his last speech that he ever made. He said, I don't understand why they want to kill me. I don't live, he said, I live very modest. My car is a Volkswagen. He doesn't drive around or ride around in a chauffeured limousine shielded by. And how many world leaders can say that today, especially in a country like Libya, where just literally hundreds of thousands of people would line the streets to cheer him on,
and
we had to take him out. Well, you know, if you go to the Bretton Woods, look up Bretton Woods on Google, it'll pull up right off the bat, 1944. I believe it was 44. There was a call to the international, not necessarily, not the IMF, but there was a call to worldwide bankers, and they came and U.S. bankers. And they came to Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, and they had a week or 2 week long meeting where it was at that particular point in time, because, quote unquote, the American monetary system was the most stable in the world, and it probably could have been at that particular point in time, that the American dollar would be the exchange rate for oil purchases. And when Gaddafi started realizing through his advisors that the economy in America was really on the edge, teetering and ready to fall at any moment in time, he realized those petrol dollars that he was getting simply weren't worth a damn thing, basically. So he started building a central bank in Libya and demanded that if the world bought oil from Libya, and Libya has some of the finest oil in the world, it takes less to refine the oil from that country than basically anywhere, that he would not sell oil to anybody who did not pay in gold. And as soon as he said that, my, all kinds of uprisings began in the country, and before you knew it, 2 years later, Muammar is dead. See, and that's the kind of thing that I think this thing about the Panama Papers so well illustrates. Because when I look at this map, my gosh, I mean, really and truly, it's almost encompasses the entire Middle East, and probably 50% of Africa, a few countries in Europe, virtually 100% of South America, and 100% of Mexico. And, you know, supposedly the world's richest man lives in Mexico. A gentleman, I forget his name, but he has the cell phone business down to the point where he just makes millions of dollars every day. I mean, just millions, literally millions. And so I find that sort of intriguing as well. But I don't know. It's just, you know, it just seems like the amount of data that was given, there's got to be something hidden there, unless it's one of the biggest hoaxes ever to be pulled on anybody in the world, which I couldn't possibly fathom anybody wanting to do that, because it just makes them look like a fool, basically.
Well, you remember earlier when I said something about wanting to see some leaks out of Luxembourg?
Yes.
Apparently, that happened about 2 years ago.
Really?
From what I found, yeah. So what it boils down to is, as far as I can tell, is not a lot changed since then. I mean, I don't remember it happened. Of course, that was a couple of years ago. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But it's like there's this big smoke screen, and then nothing. Like, you know, something to think about it. What else have we heard out of the Snowden leaks recently? Because they didn't release everything.
Oh, no, no. They sure didn't. I find this very... No, go ahead, Jimmy.
I don't think we've heard anything out of...
I haven't heard anything out of Snowden, other than I did hear him say that he wouldn't doubt that there was a lot of criminal activity involved in the Panama Papers. You know, of course, I didn't know anything about it until just this last couple of weeks. But apparently it's been, you know, open knowledge to anybody about these papers. But here's an interesting thing. There was a transaction that took place where over 10 million pounds of, you know, the European pound or the English pound of cash from the sale of the gold stolen in the Brinks bank robbery. The paperwork has been, it was laundered. They have found the paperwork where it was laundered. And that right there, money laundering, is an absolute no-no worldwide, you know.
Well, that is true.
You know, so again, you know, as we said earlier in the show, you know, no one can really say that at this point that it's absolute that somebody's guilty, but there is a lot of questions being raised about all of this. And I just find it extraordinarily interesting that we are just now finding this out on a large scale. So, all right, does anybody else have anything they'd like to add to this?
You pretty much covered all I like to think about, you guys.
Well, you know, Jimmy, you're a really smart man, and you keep up a lot better on these sort of things than I do, because I'm idly sitting by just letting the days go by because I'm retired. Of course, you're still working. And so that's why I really value your comments, because they do have some very intrinsic feelings coming from you on that. And so
I said, you're making me blush again.
Well, it's true, Jimmy. I mean, you know, but I don't know, you know, you can read and you can read and you can read and read and read some more, and you will never know the complete and full details at all, I don't think. Ian, what do you think, bro? You're awful quiet.
One thing I can say is, one thing I do know about this, like, elitist mindset is when they have one plan, they have, like, God knows how many other plans in backup mode. So you never know how many other plans that they actually have to back up the one plan in case the one plan doesn't fall into motion. So let's say, for example, these Panama Papers didn't work out. They'd have something else already in place ready to back that up in case that didn't work. So let's say Swiss banks didn't work, they'd have the Panama Papers in check. If the Panama Papers didn't check, they'd have the New York Yankee Stadium Papers in check. If the Brooklyn, if that didn't come in check, well, then they'd have the China International Papers. Something else to back up in something in its own motion. So nothing would ever stop. Anything would be on course. It'd be like an asteroid field. They always keep coming. So it's sort of like, it's like the never-endingness of these things and how they come. So, like, for example, Monsanto, just get this to touch on it just a little bit. Like say, for example, this got touched on an ISB network show. I forget which one we were talking on, but we brought Monsanto. Say, for example, the movements win a lawsuit on Monsanto. Talking with another guy that I know, he said to me, this guy Gabriel I know, he said, because he worked in business a long time ago, he was a big-time businessman before he talked about God and all this stuff to me. He said to me, even if Monsanto gets beat in court and shot down, all it would take would be an alleyway, a meeting in an alleyway or abandoned building, a signing of papers, and an abundance of something much bigger than Monsanto would replace Monsanto. That's how easy it would be to replace Monsanto.
Right. Well,
so there always will be something to replace a plot. That's. It's like I wish I didn't believe this stuff.
Blackwater is a perfect example of that. Every time they started getting in too much trouble, they just changed their name to something else.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's right out of a comic book or a movie, I swear. And when you start off your life reading comic books and you're really into this movie stuff already, and then you become a truther, it's like, I really wish I didn't believe this stuff. I wish this wasn't true. He's like, oh my goodness, anything less of superhuman power, that's the only thing that's not true about this whole thing. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like, other than being a truther and what's really happening, this is ridiculous. You almost don't want to believe it. You almost don't want to believe it. You feel like sick as a person having to, like, defend what you believe half the time. Because you're dealing with the so-called social norm.
Well, I'm gonna read the list of countries that are involved with these papers in one way or another, and just listen to the names. I mean, it should ring some bells. Algeria, Angola, Argentina, Azerbaijan, Botswana, Brazil, Cambodia, Canada, Chile, China, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ecuador, Egypt, France, Ghana, Greece, Guinea, Honduras, Hungary, Iceland, India, Israel, Italy, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Malta, Nigeria, North Korea, Pakistan, Panama, Peru, Poland, Russia, Rwanda, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, South Africa, Spain, Syria, Taiwan, United Kingdom, Venezuela, and Zambia. And those are just, that's not even all the countries involved of people that have very large sums of money in these offshore accounts that can't be readily identified to accounts because of the way that that particular company sets them up. You know, I mean, that list of countries, every one of them I've got issues with. Not necessarily for that reason, but my God, if this country's going to send the U.S. taxpayer dollars to these countries, is there any oversight from our country looking to make sure that the money we send them is used in a manner that's going to help the country?
No. Come on. What are you talking about?
So we have no clue.
Well, you pay your tithes and pray to God. Sorry.
It's just unbelievable. Okay, well, I think play another song, and we'll take another break. Hopefully this one won't be as long as that one was. Not all of his songs are that long, but we will play this one. I hope this is not the same song. If it is, I'll turn it off. Yep, it is. Not going to play that song. I'm going to play a different one. All right, we're going to play this one.
I like this one. They improved.
Darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you. Softly creeping, left its scenes while I was sleeping. Vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a talking without
And, of course, that was The Sounds of Silence by a group called Disturbed, which I think is a really telling song in a lot of different ways. You know, silence is like a cancer. It just grows and grows, and the more people that are silent, the more people that become silent. And which is kind of why I was doing this show tonight. About nobody saying anything. And of course, now we've got a group of investigative journalists who apparently are looking into all this, and they're not being silent about it. They're exposing it to the world. What I hope is that it doesn't create a panic. You know, in Iceland yesterday, or last week sometime, it might have been yesterday, they had like 27,000 people storm the State House and demanded that the man in charge resign. And of course he didn't. And then today he did say he was going to retire, or not retire, resign his position. Even though he refused to talk about what was in question with him. And that was, his wife apparently is quite wealthy, and she had a lot of money hid offshore. And that seems rather odd, especially when Iceland virtually collapsed economically, and now they're beating their way back. Those people over there, America should look at them and say, hey, that's what we need to be doing. And they're making a change.
Are they the ones that basically arrested all the bankers?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because they knew that there was, all the bankers were just getting extremely wealthy, and the people, you know, the cost of living in Iceland was unbelievably high, and the average Joe over there just really couldn't make it, and the people just got tired of it, and so they demanded the arrest of the bankers. And of course, that was like a couple of years ago. I remember there was a list of bankers around the world got caught up in that business with Iceland, and they were dropping like flies and being replaced with people. There was a big list of banking heads and officers of the banks that that just resigned immediately and inexplicably.
Well, they all didn't just resign. A lot of them were taken, well, supposedly suicide.
Well, that's true. That is true.
I didn't think the mic would work.
Say that again, Jimmy.
Yeah, he sounds real low.
Yeah.
Sounds real low?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, your mic was low a little bit.
Okay, well, I don't know what's changed and what's going wrong.
Blog talk issue. Every so often.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with this, you got to remember, Ian, how big Blog Talk really is and how many radio shows. They are huge. And I can imagine their servers probably have to be kept at 50 degrees to keep them running. They get so hot because there's so much. You know.
Probably have to have a fire extinguisher next to them.
That's funny. That is funny. But the people in this country can't be silent. I'm glad that it's not just the European journalists who are doing this investigation. There's quite a few journalists here in the United States that are involved, and they're refusing to remain silent. Remain silent. They're talking about it. They're passing information. I know the article that I read said that initially when this investigation started about a year ago, there was 350 journalists that were involved in investigating these papers. I mean, my God, that many million documents, that's just an ungodly amount to have to deal with, even over a year with 350 people. I mean, do the math. they would have to do literally tens of thousands of documents, each one of them. You're not going to do that in a year when you have to explore the words and the way the financing is written up and so on and so forth. So at least there's people talking about it. And like I said, although I will say this, I'm not very happy that it's the world media that is doing the investigation, because then the question is, how much are they really going to release to the general public? If it turns out that there's just thousands and thousands of people who are hiding money for tax evasion purposes that live in the United States, the wealthy ones, and abroad, there's just going to be a mass revolution. People are just...
Michael, the phone's up for requests, and I already burned out the battery in the last one, and this one needs to be used by someone else in the house, so I hate to have to get off the phone. You know I love being on radio, but I gotta catch up on the radio on listening.
Okay, that sounds good, buddy. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, man, and much love for Eva, and what's your new co-host name again, the new guy's coming on? The guy that's on?
Jimmy Gray.
What's his name again?
Jimmy Gray,
much love for you, bro. Glad to be talking with you on the radio. And I'll be hearing more of you, I know. And take it easy, you guys. Have a great night.
All right.
Peace.
Okay. No, it's not working very good at all, Jimmy. I think probably what I'm going to do is that I'm going to play a couple of more songs, and then I'm going to end the show early because we only have like about 36 minutes left in the show, and play a couple of songs and then close. Are you back? Okay, Jimmy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a couple of more songs and probably around 20 minutes for the show to end. I will go ahead and end the show at that point. If you get your mic fixed, though, during the song, let me know. Just give me a thumbs up or something, and and I'll put it back in into the studio. Does that sound good?
Well, the only thing I could do is maybe change the battery and see if that makes any difference. We'll give it a try.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you – you'll still be able to hear, but I'm going to put you in the – not the green room, but the blue room, and you can hear. And then give me a thumbs up if you want to come back in, and I'll bring you back in. Okay. Well, we had a little technical difficulty there with speaker and or battery or something like that. But the show tonight, I just wanted to bring attention to what's going on in the world to our listeners, just so that everybody is at least has some sort of database to start from. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little ad promos right now for our shows that we have during the week. And after that, I'll play a song, and then I'll see if Jimmy's back in, and I see that he is. But we're going to play some ad promos.
We have before us a new world order.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
A robotic society under the so-called
new world order.
That's not freedom!
Welcome to the grand illusion of system corrupt. Not the illusion of street your mind. You rise of all the lies they find. They've got you what they want you. The elephants feel like a blue distracted. Some doubt what this elephant feels like. It's got about.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
New World Order agenda.
Welcome to the grand illusion of system corrupt. Massachusetts, free your mind, through your rise, of all the lies made mine. Our lives are under attack. Take your risk, we'll get you to back. Knowledge, your weapon, your ammo, will depend on. WO2 Radio.
It's funny how Hollywood and this entertainment industry will follow the Luciferian doctrine.
Repress people, strike back!
Michael Connelly and my co-host, Ms. Eva Mermer. I am a firm believer in the Constitution, and especially, well, the only Constitution, the organic Constitution. The one we live by now is just totally bogus and built around the needs of the corporate America.
The Open Door Show with Michael Connelly. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Broadcasting live with the Vince Infinite Story Broadcast Network.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to the
I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way.
That last promo was The Virus Is Here, which comes on Wednesday evening, and we're looking forward to that tomorrow night, in fact. So I'd like to welcome Jimmy back in. Oh, there you are.
Was my battery the problem? I think I might be overdriving a little bit.
Well, at least you found out what it was. You're better at it than I am, because I can't ever figure those kinds of things out. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to give your last testimony to what we were talking about, and then I'll add mine, and then I'm going to go ahead and close the show out, Jimmy.
Well, like I said before, I think there's a lot of smoke. We haven't seen the fire yet. Supposedly, there's supposed to be some more information coming out related. That's supposed to be a bigger deal. Basically, they're telling us what we already know. People that have the ability to do so are doing what they can to hide their wealth. Okay. That's nothing new. That hasn't changed. And I really don't think it will change, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I agree, Jimmy. I agree completely. This you brought up that, and that was a very good analogy. We're seeing a lot of smoke, but we're not seeing the fire. But I can guarantee you, at least I think I can, there will be somebody who will fall. There'll be somebody they will uncover. And, you know, it could be the very top of the food chain, the Rothschilds, that are responsible for all this, because they don't hide anything. They just, they just do what they do, and they just run over people and bulldoze people down. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank all of the listeners, and Ian once again, and Eva. Dear sweet lady, we hope you are back full force next Tuesday. And Jimmy, thank you so much for being here. And I will be looking for you on Monday evening as well. And of course, tomorrow night is The Virus. And if you feel like listening in on that one, please do. It'll be a good show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Connelly, and I am signing out for tonight. Good night.
Good night, Michael.
I hope everybody had a good night and a good week.